Governor Sean Parnell says he's frustrated by the lack of progress towards securing a major natural gas pipeline in Alaska and believes it's time for the various proposals to merge. Several ideas have been floated as ways to commercialize natural gas from the North Slope. They include a major line being worked on by TransCanada Corporation, a smaller in-state pipeline, and a proposal to ship liquefied natural gas overseas. There are indications the major line has stalled. TransCanada has not yet secured agreements with shippers, blaming in part the fact that key leases are still in dispute and the state has yet to come to tax and royalty terms with producers of the gas. Parnell said yesterday that his message to the industry is simple. Alaskans want their gas developed and moved to market. It'll soon be easier to find where you're going at Bartlett Regional Hospital. The Board of Directors for Juneau's community-owned hospital Tuesday night approved funding for three new signs. Two will point visitors to the emergency room, and the third will identify the main entrance. During renovations over the past few years, the emergency room has sometimes been used as the main entrance, and Hospital Community Relations Director Jim Strader says some patients and their families are understandably confused. Strader serves on an employee committee that's been looking at signage for over a year and recommended the three new markers.
Hospitals all over the country, they're complex buildings. It's very difficult to navigate, even if you know your way around the building. And the fact that, you know, Bartlett, just like many other hospitals, have undergone, you know, construction and changes in the layout and things like that. It's something that hospitals are continuing to try to improve that process just to make it a little easier for people to find out where they're going.
Two of the new signs will be located on the side of the building as you drive up Hospital Drive to Bartlett Hospital. The third will be on the Bartlett House building as you make the left turn to go to the emergency room. The board approved about $19,000 for the project. It's not known when the signs will be installed, but Strader hopes it's before the end of the year. Two Alaska Airlines pilots are being recognized for safely handling a jet last year after one of its engines exploded while taking off from Sitka. Captain Steve Clary and First Officer Michael Hendricks won the Superior Airmanship Award from the Airline Pilots Association last week. Cleary and Hendricks were at the Boeing 737's controls August 8th of last year. Association spokeswoman Jennifer Sutton says there was little room for error at Sitka's Island Airport with ocean waters at the end of the runway.
As they started to accelerate down the runway, they hit it about 100 knots, and they saw an eagle flash past the plane directly in the path ahead. And just mere seconds later, when they hit about 130 knots, which is the equivalent of about 150 miles an hour, the eagle smashed into the left engine, causing the engine to explode and burst into flame.
With one engine gone and the other one going full throttle, the pilots struggled to maintain control, but they were able to stop the jet before it veered off the runway or went into the water.
The really amazing thing here is that while this could have had a tragic ending, the procedures that they took that day and just the swift, clear-thinking action that both pilots exhibited resulted in an event where there were no injuries to any of the 134 passengers or five crew members on board.
Both Cleary and Hendricks were not available for immediate comment. The $7 million engine had to be replaced. A jet sent to pick up the stranded passengers also struck and killed an eagle on takeoff. That plane was not damaged, and the flight continued on. Only one other crew received the annual award from the association, the world's largest pilots union. It was presented August 18th at the 57th Air Safety Forum Awards Banquet in Washington, D.C. It's no secret that charter captains and Homer are upset about NOAA's new halibut catch-sharing proposal, which would mean one fish per angler rule in the Gulf of Alaska under most circumstances. And in a meeting this week with Senator Mark Begich and NOAA Chief Dr. Jane Lubchenco, a large group of them let their feelings be heard. Aaron Selbig was at the meeting and has more on the story.
A crowd of more than 200 people poured into the upstairs meeting room at Homer's Best Western Bidarka Inn Tuesday afternoon. Charter captains, commercial fishermen, Chamber of Commerce members, City Council members, and Mayor Jim Hornaday all were there to hear what the esteemed guests had to say about the complex new proposed halibut catch-sharing plan and what it might mean for Homer's charter fleet.
Okay, folks, one more time, I need your attention. Just in case you do not know how this is going to work, we
Chamber Director Monty Davis, who helped coordinate the event, held a 2-inch-thick stack of index cards in his hand, each one of them with a handwritten question from the audience.
What impact do you think the implementation of a one fish per angler will have on this and surrounding communities? How will the new limited entry affect the catch-sharing plan? This plan is being promoted as a conservation plan. To me, a conservation means no one would be able to catch these fish. Isn't this really just a reallocation of those fish from sport to commercial? How long will Alaskans enjoy a fishery that allows them to provide for their families?
As Senator Mark Begich and NOAA Chief Dr. Jane Lubchenco looked on and took notes, Davis went through just about every question in the pile. Many of them covered the same ground. Was there an adequate study of the possible economic effects of the new rules? Is this an allocation or a conservation issue? Why not wait to see what the effect is of the new limited entry rules for charter halibut vessels? And would it be possible to extend the September 6th deadline for public comment? Lubchenco took a shot at answering questions from the restless, standing-room-only crowd.
So thank you, everybody, for those questions. Clearly, there are a lot of really challenging issues. I think that it's useful to focus on sort of the historical perspective here. We didn't get into this challenging situation overnight.
Lubchenco cited the 1976 Magnuson-Stevens Act and NOAA's responsibility to end overfishing nationwide, but that was not the answer most of the Homer Charter captains wanted to hear. The crowd soon grew a bit more restless, and then Senator Begich jumped in.
Fish wars are a pain in the ass. Okay? I'm going to say that very bluntly. And it means there's winners and there's losers.
After public comments are reviewed, the plan will be sent to Secretary of Commerce Gary Locke, who has the power to approve it or send it back to the North Council. Lubchenco reiterated that NOAA's primary goal is to ensure the long-term sustainability of the halibut fishery.
That's not something that economics can affect. That takes a priority because we want a fishery to be able to bring economic benefit down the road.
Begich is chairman of the Senate Oceans, Atmosphere, Fisheries, and Coast Guard Subcommittee. He said the committee and the U.S. Senate in general has historically done a bad job of overseeing the effects of their own rulings.
And what I mean by that is we pass these laws where regulation occurs, and then we go on to some other issue. And then a crisis occurs, and then we all run and scurry around and create some other crisis legislation and hope it all goes away. And then 5 years later, we do the same routine.
Begich promised the Homer crowd that when and if the new halibut catch-sharing plan goes into effect, proper oversight would be conducted. In Homer, I'm Aaron Selbig.
A BP spokesman says a security guard at an oil field fatally shot a polar bear after the animal approached employee housing. Spokesman Steve Reinhardt says the unidentified guard employed by Purcell Security thought he was firing a beanbag round at the bear at the Endicott oil field. Instead, he shot the animal with a cracker round, which Reinhardt says makes a loud noise and lights like a firecracker. Spokesman says the bear was shot August 3rd and died a few days later. Reinhardt says it's the first time a polar bear was shot and killed on BP's operations in Alaska. He says the guard was trying to protect people and not hurt the bear. U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service did not comment when asked about its investigation into the shooting.